Jesus' last words on earth that we hear in the gospel today are, "But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost part of the earth." In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. And then St. Luke immediately tells us in Acts, "And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments." As you know, the Old Testament, or rather the New Testament, is foreshadowed in the Old Testament, and this includes the Ascension. We're going to look at three things in the Old Testament. First, during Yom Kippur, the Jewish priest would take the sin offering and ascend the stairs of the temple into the Holy of Holies. But he had to be surrounded by a cloud. What kind of cloud was this? It was a cloud of incense. You should probably think of the traditional Latin Mass. Even in the low Mass, the priest ascends the altar with the prayers at the foot of the altar. Everything is reflected in the Old Testament. In the High Mass, this is even more beautiful because the priest actually ascends with a cloud. What kind of cloud? He ascends with a cloud of incense at this moment. So the priest goes into the Holy of Holies by ascending in a cloud. Remember, the temple veil and the Jewish priest's garments had the pattern of the stars and planets on them to show that all of creation was created by God and to be reconciled by God. So when we think of this, the priest going into the Holy of Holies by ascending in this cloud of incense, this shows that Jesus is the high priest, he's the victim, and he is the temple, as he says. Now, whether you go from the south to Jerusalem or from the north to Jerusalem, it's really interesting because in the New Testament, and I think the Old Testament, it always says you are going up. It always says they went up to Jerusalem. Well, there's a reason for this, and it's because Jerusalem is a mountain, or as we would say in Colorado, a hill. But even as a boy, the child Jesus goes up to the temple of Jerusalem. This is already a foreshadowing of him entering heaven, as the temple is a symbol of heaven. Because even as a boy, he is the one true high priest entering into the temple, which is symbolic of heaven, which happens today, the ascension of our Lord. So at the ascension, Jesus goes behind the veil, carrying our humanity to rule all of creation. I think this is why we focus on the supernatural virtue of hope during the second glorious mystery, the ascension. Did you ever wonder why the ascension is attached to the supernatural virtue of hope? I think it's because despite all of the suffering on earth, Christ rules behind the veil in hidden ways, united to his own mystical body in all of her suffering, that is, the church. Olivier Clément wrote in Roots of Christian Mysticism, quote, "By the ascension, the body of Christ, woven of our flesh and of all earthly flesh, entered the realms of the Trinity. Henceforth, creation is in God. And when the divine spirit ascended, the universe was given life, strength, and stability." Close quote. Now, all of those already existed outside of time. But this is brought to a new level when Christ ascends into heaven today. Secondly, we look at the Old Testament. We consider the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, which is Elijah. Remember that Elijah's apprentice is Elisha. And at the end of Elijah's life, Elisha doesn't want Elijah to leave. They cross the Jordan together as a final real and symbolic act in 2 Kings chapter 2. Then verse 9 to 14, long quote but an astonishing quote. "When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, 'And what shall I do for you before I am taken from you?' And Elisha said, 'Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me.' And he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so.' And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Close quote. Notice that Elijah can only send his spirit after ascending into heaven. What does this sound like to you? Yes, Jesus can only send his spirit after ascending into heaven. That is why Pentecost comes after the ascension. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. But it's not just a portion of the Holy Spirit that is given. Christ is working so powerfully in the apostles that if you were following along in the first reading today, you would have heard that St. Luke said that his own gospel was, quote, "of all the things which Jesus began to do and to teach," close quote. In Latin, "quaecepit Jesus facere et docere." But isn't it funny that Luke's gospel was only what Jesus began to do and teach, until the day on which giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up? Why was it only the beginning? The answer is this: because Jesus would be so associated with his apostles and his church that it was Christ functioning in his mystical body. Now this brings us back to Elijah and Elisha. We see this union of missions in Elijah and Elisha, the double portion of the Spirit poured on Elisha, but only after he has seen with his own eyes the ascension, or rather the lifting up of Elijah into heaven. And because he sees this, he knows that the double portion will be his. This is why the ascension is 9 days before Pentecost. It says that Elisha took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him. And to go under a prophet's mantle is to speak with his spirit. So Elisha speaks with the spirit of Elijah, and the apostles speak with the spirit of Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit that comes at Pentecost. Not only that, but the same power is given. Remember that Elijah parted the Jordan easily, an extremely unusual and powerful miracle. What does Elisha do right after he receives the cloak of Elijah, right when Elijah is taken up into heaven? He strikes the water of the Jordan, and it says in the Bible, "The water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over," 2 Kings 2:14. How does this project into the New Testament? Well, I think one of the most amazing lines in the New Testament is when Jesus says in John 14, "He that believeth in me, the works that I do, he also shall do, and greater than these shall he do." Greater works than those of Jesus? He gives them his spirit. Listen to part of today's gospel again. "Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover." Remember also, this is the very first novena that leads from ascension to Pentecost. This is the 9 days of prayer. But who is the spouse of the Holy Spirit? It is the Blessed Mother. And so this might be the very most important 9 days to enter deep into prayer with Our Lady in this time when it even says in Acts of the Apostles was the very first novena, these 9 days right after the ascension where the apostles pray with Mary. And we could almost say the Holy Spirit doesn't come upon Mary and the apostles. We could say the Holy Spirit comes through Mary to the apostles, since every grace comes through Mary. And this is reflected in the liturgy. The boys weren't wrong in actually lighting the Easter candle. I noticed in Latin, as I was finishing the gospel, it said, "And here at the finish of the gospel, the paschal candle is extinguished." So I whispered to Patrick, go extinguish the candle. That's actually part of the liturgy, to extinguish the candle as the gospel ended. And that's obviously symbolic of Jesus going to heaven as the light of the world, but he sends his spirit for the very power of himself to be in the church. Okay, finally, the last thing fulfilled in the Old Testament, simply a direct prophecy that Jesus quotes before Caiaphas the night of Jesus' arrest, but it was already spoken by Daniel 600 years before Jesus about Jesus, as Daniel says in chapter 7, quote, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and the kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Close quote. Daniel chapter 7. Anyone baptized is united to Christ's body, and Jesus is the head entering heaven today, but joined nonetheless to anyone on earth. And that is why today, Ascension Thursday, Christ goes up in the clouds and rules over a kingdom of all peoples, nations, and languages. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.